Welcome to Below the 10, a series about life in South LA. I'm David Weinberg, a reporter for KCRW in Los Angeles. So, all across South LA, you'll find some of the city's largest development projects. And this is a double-edged sword for the community. All this new construction will inevitably cause property values to rise in neighborhoods where people are already barely able to afford housing. On the other hand, all this development also means lots of well-paying construction jobs for people in desperate need of economic stability. This is the story of Anthony Fagan, one of those construction workers who's helping to build the new South LA. It's 5 a.m. on one of the coldest mornings of the year in Los Angeles. The sun isn't up yet, but the light from Anthony Fagan's phone illuminates a little cloud of his breath every time he exhales. Anthony's wearing a bright orange construction hat and a vest with reflective tape. He's a union carpenter, and he's standing in the middle of a huge construction site, 9 buildings in all. No one else is in sight.
It's peaceful. Right now it is. It's going to be chaotic in about 30 minutes. You'll see. It's going to be loud. High voltage.
This is USC Village, a $650 million development that includes housing for 2,700 students, a Trader Joe's, a Target, and a Bank of America. It's one of the largest developments in the history of South LA. And this is just one of the large developments currently under construction south of the 10 freeway. Metro is expanding the Crenshaw line of the light rail all the way to the airport, and Hollywood Park has been leveled for a proposed $2 billion development that might include an NFL stadium. Anthony usually gets to work an hour and a half to 2 hours early. That's something he learned from his mentor, a man named Big John, whose motto is, it's better to be 2 hours early than 2 minutes late.
He's amazing. That's the only word that comes to mind when you think about Big John, man.
You'll hear more about Big John later. Before Anthony met Big John, he didn't think a career in construction was possible for someone like himself. In fact, he didn't think he would ever have a career of any kind.
Well, a person like me, like having a criminal record, I thought once I went to prison, my life as far as having a decent career and making a decent living was over. I thought I was going to be stuck at a McDonald's job or something.
Anthony dropped out of high school his senior year, and he started making money any way he could.
A lot of crazy stuff.
Like what?
Robbery, one. Yeah, so drugs. I did a lot of crazy stuff, man, for money.
What was your strategy for doing a robbery?
I didn't have no strategy.
On December 3rd, 2009, Anthony and two friends robbed a check cashing store at gunpoint. They were apprehended by police a few blocks away. Anthony was sentenced to 7 years, and while he was in prison, he convinced a childhood friend to visit, a woman named Tiara Williams.
Our first conversation, we just clicked on a different level. It was kind of like love at first sight. And not necessarily at first sight because we've been knowing each other for so long.
Tiara kept visiting Anthony in prison and calling him from the outside. And on one of those calls, Anthony asked Tiara for her address.
And about 15 minutes later, he's knocking on my door. I was just like, oh my God, I screamed. And I was really in shock because he didn't tell me anything. He just kept saying, I'll be home sooner than you think, sooner than you think.
Anthony was paroled 2 years early. He asked Tiara to marry him. She said yes, and he moved in with her and her 3-month-old son. He was 26 years old, now a convicted felon with a GED that he'd gotten in prison, and he had a family to support.
I really didn't think I would be able to provide for my family in a legal way.
Around this time, someone told Anthony about these meetings that happened every Thursday night in a church basement. They're in a working-class neighborhood over at 35th and Normandy. The meetings are part of an organization called Second Call, which is an acronym for Second Chance at Loving Life. And the man who runs the meetings is a union electrician named Big John. Some of these big construction projects that I mentioned earlier have local hire initiatives. So when a contractor needs local workers, they come to Big John.
Appreciate you being here, man.
I'm really happy to be here.
Big John's real name is John Harriel, and he begins the meeting by introducing himself.
My name is John, and I feel excellent. I ain't dead in jail. Have I been to jail? Absolutely. What we do at Second Call, basically save lives.
For Big John, saving lives means getting people into well-paying careers, an opportunity that could have saved him 4.5 years of his own life. That's how long he spent in prison for possession of cocaine. And while he was incarcerated, there was one person that stood out to him. It was an electrician who did work at the prison. That electrician became John's mentor. And when John was released, he joined the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the IBEW. And he saw his new career as a solution to the high rates of violent crime that he saw in his neighborhood.
It's real simple. Take any culture, I don't care where it is, if they don't have the ability to make money or work, it will become a violent community. So if I can say, hey, man, listen, we have something available to you that will pay you a livable wage and not treat you like a dog, more than likely that individual will pull themselves up through the proper life skills and realize that, hey, now I'm a productive, contributing member of this community.
The workers who make it through Big John's program are in high demand right now. The Crenshaw Line extension of the Metro has a mandate that 40% of the workforce come from low-income zip codes. And USC Village has set a goal of 30% local hires, with an emphasis on hiring people who live within a 2-mile radius of USC. Back at the construction site, the sun is up, and just as Anthony Fagan promised, it is extremely loud. Anthony is on the 5th floor of an unfinished building. He's using a chop saw to slice through 9-foot aluminum studs. Sparks fly out from the blade and scatter around his work boots. Anthony rarely talks while he works. He's a first-year apprentice. And typically, first-year apprentices don't even wear tool belts.
Pretty much all they do is to learn the materials, they scrap out, clean up, pick up drywall, sweep floors, and stuff like that.
This is Anthony's foreman, Greg Mackey. Greg and Anthony work for a company called Standard Drywall Incorporated, or SDI. Greg says this USC job is different than most because SDI hired a subcontractor to do the cleanup work.
We have to have a certain amount of minorities on the job, so we subbed our cleanup to a company called MBJ, which they're a minority sub.
The day I visited Anthony at work, I noticed that he was one of the only black workers not doing cleanup. I also noticed some really horrible racist graffiti in the porta potties, and it basically said that the black employees of SDI were only good for picking up trash. After work, I asked Anthony if graffiti like that bothered him.
Nah, that's just people writing in porta potties and stuff. Like I said, I stick to myself. I kind of don't talk to people what I show up to work for. I don't show up to read what's wrote on the porta potties. I just show up to do my job.
As an apprentice, Anthony makes a little over $16 an hour plus benefits. If he stays in the union, by the time he's a journeyman in about 3 years, he'll be making $40 an hour plus benefits. His goal is to buy a house within the next 5 years. And right now, home prices in South LA are lower than the city average. But all these large developments will likely raise property values, potentially pushing out the very people who are building the new South LA, the very people who have been hired precisely because they live in South LA. This project is supported by a grant from the Conrad N. Hilton Foundation. You can find more about the series at belowthe10.com. That's T-E-N. There, you'll find tons of fantastic visual elements. There's videos and photos of some of the people in the series. There's interactive maps and beautiful illustrations. The series was reported and produced by me, David Weinberg, with Alexandra Garriton. It was edited by Sonia Geis and Nick White. And the digital team was run by Caitlin Schamberg. Thanks for listening.